In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
By the way, you may notice I'm sniffling this morning. There are still colds out there. Apparently that's all it is. I had a COVID test a half an hour before I came here, and it was negative. So this morning we heard part of the gospel that we actually heard back on Christmas Eve, because we read the whole birth narrative from Luke on Christmas Eve. Today we heard just the last piece of that regard the shepherds. In his reflection on this morning's gospel passage, Anglican pastor Reverend Stephen Sizer observes that there is one word that best describes the night the Lord Jesus was born. Ordinary. At least it started out that way. Just like any other night in and around Bethlehem. There they were out in their fields, shepherds on watch along with the sheep they were tending. There were simply sheep, sleeping silhouettes on the hillside. And the shepherds, peasants. Ancestors of today's Bedouin, you can still see as you drive through the Holy Land countryside. They were anonymous, simple, ordinary people. I've been blessed to visit the Holy Land twice, and both times I've taken advantage of visiting the two sites that claim to be the real spot where the shepherds were. They're within a mile of each other. And that's where the shepherds had their celestial vision. And it was truly amazing to stand there and try to imagine what that night was like. There's actually a little chapel built into a hillside there that I've always had a dream of spending Christmas Eve there. That's not going to happen, but I can imagine it. An ordinary night with ordinary sheep and ordinary shepherds. But we discover this night that God dances in the midst of the common. And without warning, suddenly the dark Nazareth sky was bursting with the light of a unique star. And the silence night rang out with the message of an angel and an angelic chorus. And the night was ordinary no more. Were it not for the God who delights in transforming the ordinary into the holy, the night would have gone unnoticed and unrecorded. The sheep would have been forgotten. The shepherds would have gone about their everyday lives instead of becoming the first evangelists. Amid these hallmark feel-good moments of the celestial happenings, it's easy for us to miss the scandal of God's incarnation. The Son of God, born to a poor, unmarried Jewish couple, with the young woman bearing a child who was not the child of her betrothed, far away from their home, with no place to stay. And so their baby was born in a feeding trough for barnyard animals. God in a homeless shelter. I've met God in places like that. Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and their donkey were model outsiders. Imagine what they would look like in 2023. Imagine how many churches today would swing wide the doors and welcome this twosome if they arrived at the church doorsteps looking for food, clothing, warmth, and shelter. The angels came in the night when the light is best seen and when light is most needed. God transforms the ordinary for the same reason. That's also probably why the announcement came first to the shepherds, people whose testimony would probably not have been allowed in a court of law because they had no permanent address, people who didn't have a reputation to protect, or an axe to grind, or a ladder to climb. We can make several observations about how the Lord brought glory to the ordinary, about how the Lord longs to work in and through you and me. First of all, we see that the shepherds searched for Jesus. Luke writes, "The shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Now, as I said before, the shepherds were at least a couple of miles away. They went looking for Jesus in the dark corners of Bethlehem. It must have taken some considerable time to find Mary and Joseph and the baby, but they searched until they found Jesus. They heard the word of God and they obeyed. They wanted to see whether what they had been told was true. It took time and effort to find Jesus, but history tells us it was certainly worth it. In this respect, the shepherds can be role models for us. And raises the question for us, have we searched for Jesus personally? Or do we wait for Jesus to come to us? How desperate are we to find Jesus, to know him, to be with him and follow him? How far out of our ordinary everyday lives are we willing to go to find Jesus? Second point, the shepherds shared the news of Jesus. Luke writes, when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. It's ironic that shepherds were not considered reliable witnesses in Jesus' time. It's ironic, therefore, that God would choose these shepherds to be the first human witnesses to tell others that prophecy had been fulfilled, that angels had appeared, and that the Messiah had been born. Their testimony was spontaneous. The shepherds spoke from the heart, and their words connected with the deepest needs of those with whom they shared the good news. When you hear exciting news, it's hard not to share it, isn't it? You don't think about yourself or the words to say. You're simply consumed by the good news, and you can't keep it in. In a court of law, this type of testimony is admissible evidence as an excited utterance. When a baby's born in the family, you can't stop talking about your child or your grandchild. You can't resist pulling out the photos. It brings a smile to your face, and you find yourself sharing with anyone, even strangers, who will listen. The gospel is the greatest news on earth. If we feel reluctant or embarrassed to share it, perhaps we have not really understood what Jesus has done for us or why Jesus came in the first place. When we enter the season of Epiphany next week, our scriptures will focus on the various ways in which Jesus gradually was revealed to be the Messiah in first century Palestine. Today, we are his witnesses. And it's our job to share what difference his birth and his life make to us and in the way we conduct ourselves in the world around us. The third point we can learn from the shepherds this morning is that they praised God because of Jesus. Luke writes, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it had been told them. When we worship, we are simply praising God for who God is and giving God thanks for what God has done. But worship doesn't travel alone. Worship and evangelism flow from the same root, a knowledge of and a relationship with God that we want to share. The more we understand what God and Jesus has done for us, the more we will praise God and thank God and follow Jesus. The shepherds searched for Jesus, and when they found Jesus, the shepherds praised God for Jesus and shared news of Jesus with all who would listen. And Luke writes, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Maybe you feel rather ordinary yourself today. As we are inclined to do with 2020 hindsight, we tend to think of biblical characters like the shepherds as larger than life, special people with extraordinary gifts and perhaps even bravery. We may question how we would respond to such a visitation from angels. Some of us may assume that we too would have stepped up to the moment and spread the good news. I suspect many of us are not sure how we would have reacted. Regardless of what we envision, this morning's gospel reminds us that God delights in the ordinary and delights in their companionship. Today, a small, ordinary church building marks the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem. It stands next to three rather extraordinary church buildings, representing, of course, the three branches of the Christian faith that can't agree on a lot of things. But this small building is the oldest church in the world. And underneath the altar is a cave, a little cavern lit by silver lamps. Crusader crosses are etched into the marble pillars, witness to countless generations of pilgrims. You can freely enter the building and worship in this ancient church. You can even step down into the quiet cave where a star is embedded in the floor, denoting the place where the Savior of the world is thought to have been born. But there's one condition. You have to stoop down. The entrance to the church is so low that only a small child can enter it standing up. It's a profoundly moving and humbling experience. A most profound parable, isn't it? To view the place where Christ was born, we must humble ourselves. We must bow to enter his presence. In our modern world, we see the world standing tall. The taller the skyscraper, the more impressive. The bigger, the better. But to witness the Savior, you have to get on your knees. So, while the theologians were sleeping, while the elite were dreaming, and while the successful were snoring, the meek were kneeling. They were kneeling before the only one only the meek will ever see. They were kneeling before Jesus. They were the first to worship, and they were the first to share the good news. Luke writes, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen." As we approach the conclusion of this Christmastide, may the good Lord bless you and those you love, as together we commit to do the same. Amen.